So, we are going, I'm going to share my screen, and we are going to, oh, I got to find it. We are going to Judges. All right, and for some reason I can't find it, so hold on just a minute. I gotta go in. That's what I get for laughing it. Well, one reason why I can't find it is because I didn't have it open. So that's no good. All right, well, you guys turn to, be quiet, Jimmy. You guys turn to Judges chapter 6, and good gracious, I don't know why I didn't. Okay, there it is. All right, I didn't have it open. I can't believe I didn't have that open already. All right, so here we go. All right, so let's leave off at, we left off at 12. There it is. Gideon. Let me share my screen. Let me go down. And the neat thing about 12, in fact, I prayed this morning when I looked at, I was out, in fact, I was praying for Mandy. And the Spirit just kind of hit me while I was in my prayer. And one of the prayers that I had today was that in our services and in our worship and in this lesson, that the Lord would be with me. And I just felt like He was just going to do great things in the lesson and in this day and in services or whatever. Oh, by the way, last week, if you didn't hear Pastor's sermon, a lot of the things that we were talking about were right there in his sermon. I just love when that happens because it just shows you confirmation for that word that we need. And I just love that part where God tells Gideon, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I know we ended last week's lesson with that scripture, but don't miss the power of verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And it sure didn't look like anything that Gideon was doing, I would put a label on as being mighty. But God sees something in him that we don't see just yet. And I tell you, the application for that is God sees something in us. How do I know that? Well, because he didn't call the children of Israel to come out of Egypt just to die in the wilderness. It was to bring them into something better and something greater according to his promises. You really have to personalize your relationship with God and understand that if he's got the 99 and he chases after the one, we are ones that are important. And he did not die on the cross and he did not save us for us to just be saved. He has something great, and he sees something in us that he wants to use for his glory. And so everybody that's on this call and everybody that looks at this lesson after this is over with, you got to understand what God's purpose is. Hey, he has a purpose for us, and it's for us to be great in him. He still wants to use us. And I can't get a hallelujah or an amen behind that. I don't know. Okay, all right. There you go. Amen. All right, so let's take a look at verse 13. Shout if you got something that you see or that I missed. I got a couple of highlights here. But here's Gideon again as we open up this on verse 13 of Judges chapter 6. And you can kind of read my notes along if you want to. It might spark something. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Is what Gideon saying true? Yes, it's true. And Gideon, I love when you can have a conversation with the Lord and you can just ask him why all this is happening. Can we put ourselves in this story and ask the question even today, why is all of this stuff happening to us, to our country, to our nation, why is all this happening to us? All right. Now, Gideon does not know why all this is happening. He just sees the impact of what's going on. We know why all this is happening because we've seen the end of the story and we've got the scriptures here to kind of tell us what's going on. All right. And so, I don't think it's bad that we ask the Lord why all this is happening. I just think we need to have a spiritual eye as to what's going on here, because there's some application for us as well. I got an important note here, and I said, how did Gideon know about God delivering his people? So Gideon says, hey, you know, where's all the miracles, and where's this great God of faith, you know, of promise, which our fathers told us about or whatever. And so Gideon is replaying what he knows about God. And I guess the question is, and I guess the answer is already there because I got it highlighted or whatever from my perspective. You might have a different perspective. How did Gideon know about God delivering his people?
People before him told him.
All right. Application for today.
We have to tell people what God does for us to build people's faith.
I can't say it any better than that. And in the Jewish culture, what I've learned in studying that is, they habitually and traditionally share the story of God and the deliverance and the Exodus and all those stories. They still replay those stories with their children and future generations today. And it's important that Gideon know that this is the same God that my fathers told me about. So they know how to have that conversation and hope in him. My dad hoped in this. And now I'm dealing with this. What did dad tell me to do? Where was my dad's hope? Where was my mom's hope? And so where is this hope now? Okay. Well, I can tap into this because I heard the stories. I heard the history. I heard the spiritual revelation or whatever. This is one of the things in parenting that, I didn't figure out until later on when my kids were teenagers to be able to share with them the testimonies and share with them what's going on. And sometimes when I went through tough times, I didn't give them all the gory details. But when I lost a job or got downsized, I shared with my family. I'm like, hey, dad lost his job. He might have to go on an unemployment line. But God is good. And when he brought me out of that, in a miraculous way, I shared with them how God is blessing. So that when my daughter got downsized 2 years ago, she didn't go jump off a cliff. She called dad. You know, I remember you going through this, and so all I can do is I've got to turn to the Lord because my heart is broke because I really love this job. And I really don't know what I'm going to do now. And we went through that season with joy and praise because she saw that her dad had gone through that. I had shared with her, you are in great place in the Lord. Because if he shut the door on this and you're in him and he's with you, he needed to shut this door so he can give you something much better. So teaching our kids to be able to apply that faith and those lessons or whatever, that's important. I love my dad. My dad left the land of the living in 07. My dad knew what he knew, you know, and, you know, he'd sit around with his buddies before he got saved. And I got my first drink. It was a little cup of beer or whatever. And, you know, I think I was a toddler or whatever. And, you know, I was rolling around the floor or whatever. Look, a little chunk of your hair rolling around the floor or whatever. He gave me my first drink. My mom gave me my first Bible. before I was a teenager, my mom gave me my first Bible. And I know you guys, my dad didn't know any better. But while this is a call for all parents, I just want to make this call to the dads. I mean, all of us as parents have that responsibility. But as dads, we should be sharing our testimony and letting our kids know about the God of salvation that they're going to have to need somewhere down the road in life. All right. The other thing is Gideon is asking the question. I've heard about all of this stuff that God has done, but where is it and how does it apply to us? And one of the things I say here, if you know that God is with you, you can rejoice in your trouble. All right. And God already said, hey, I'm going to be with you. And so, you know, just knowing that. But I got an example. I got a note here. I got a friend of mine. He used to be in the class, Van Clee, and he's doing prison ministry at the youth detention facility. And he called me a couple weeks ago and he said, Chuck, I got a question from one of the guys. And some of the teenagers were asking, we know about John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the question that they asked him was, they're looking at the word loved. And they were wondering if John 3:16 applies to them because of the word loved. And they're thinking, well, is that for everybody before us? And did we miss the boat because it looks like it's past tense? And his heart was broken. He didn't know exactly what to tell him. And so he asked me to give an answer that he could take back to the kids. And I'm like, oh, absolutely. They're covered by this. The loved means that from the time that he did it, it was covered. It's not just for older New Testament, you know, at his time. They're covered under John 3:16 by their belief. And so to be able to take God's word. And so we can kind of listen to, you know, this story about, hey, these kids. You know, of course, how could they not know that John? Come on, guys, we've been doing this thing for a while. How could those young men incarcerated in the youth detention facility, how could they not know that John 3:16 applies to them? How could they not know? Let me just ask the class. Don't we know that John 3:16 applies to those youth? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. How could they not know that? Well, same thing goes for us. In this scripture, if you believe this word in this story about God being with Gideon and that he's a mighty man of valor because God is with him, then is there anything to keep us from believing? Don't we sound like the same youth that, hey, does 3:16 apply to us? Well, does Gideon, or not Gideon, does Judges chapter 6 apply to you and I? It is a matter of faith. It's my word. This is my word. This is for me. If God's with me, phew, the devil's in trouble. Okay, I want you to see some things as we go to, man, it is already 10 o'clock already. Okay, I know we're not going to get through this chapter, but anyway, we'll have fun as we go through. All right, verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, I like how God looks upon him and says, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And so God says, God looks at him after he gives this complaint and says, hey, go with this in mind. You're going to save Israel. All this trouble that you're talking about, that you're going through, I'm going to use you to deliver your people from this trouble. And just know this, I have sent you. His response, I don't see how you're going to do that, because I'm like the last person that I would think would be able to do this. I just want to open this up for a little bit, and just, there's a couple of things here, and you could actually do the why, but I just want you to notice what God is doing here in this interaction. Can anybody understand Gideon's response and why he would respond that way?
Well, Chuck, in verse 15, to me, how many times has God told you to do something and you made an excuse?
Oh, yeah.
In my Bible, he said, oh, I'm just the weakest thing in the family. So why would I be able to do this? So, I mean, how many times have we as, even as Christians, God tells you, I want you to do this, but you say, no, I can't do that. I'm too weak or I'm just that.
So this is one of those why lessons. So we see what Gideon says. Earl just said, hey, I can see how this applies to us. So here's my question. Why does Gideon bring up his limitations to the Lord?
Fears.
Yeah. He does not think that he's capable of doing it.
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure. In the logical, that makes very logical sense. In the spiritual, does it make much sense?
No.
Why not?
Because God is the one who's going to do the work through you. So if we trust in God, He'll enable us to do whatever he calls us to do.
Absolutely. So until we get, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, until we can get that in our spirit, we're going to have the same response and the same doubts that Gideon has right here. This is real. I'm going through a tough time in my marriage. I just don't see any way out. Well, if God is with you and he's with the marriage, then your trouble becomes a testimony. Because he's with you.
Know, some things that have been ingrained in you since you can remember, being the youngest, him being the weakest of the clan, his clan being the weakest, and they've probably talked about this, and you know, all of a sudden, you're just doing your little daily duty, and this angel appears to you and starts talking to you. I mean, how many of us in our situations in life have this deep ingrained message that has been given to us that we believe in our minds is true? And it's going to take asking God. It's going to take, especially the first time that God comes to you and shows you that he wants you to do something, we're not just instantaneously, the switch is going to flip. And we don't think we're Billy Joe Bad and we can do whatever God wants us to do because he's going to do it through us. There's a mindset change that has to happen for Gideon here.
I was at a leadership conference about a week or so ago, and the guy that was speaking said, it's pretty good. I got to paraphrase because I don't have my notes with me from that. And he said, learning, there's two key things in learning. He said, the first is to learn and to understand. And he said, the next thing is to unlearn all that bad stuff that you had before. And I had never thought about the unlearning. And, I used to play racquetball. I guess when I get too old, I guess I'll go back to playing it again. And I taught myself how to play racquetball. And Paul Redhead will appreciate this. And I got to be pretty good in racquetball. I was a fairly decent B player. And, I was beating most people that was in our little racquetball circuit. And then this colonel that I was playing with, and used to beat all the time, he gave me this book on how to play racquetball. So I started reading the book because I wanted to get better. And I realized that I had taught myself the wrong way. I'm not holding my racket right, and I'm not getting all the power that I really need to be getting in my shots because I'm reading this book, and it's telling me the proper way of doing it. And I started trying to do what the book was telling me to do, and I started losing. Because it didn't feel natural to me. It was something, and I had to unlearn my bad habits. And I was just so uncomfortable doing it the right way because I was more comfortable doing it the wrong way. And some of the guys came to me and they were like, hey, what's wrong with Chuck? He's been losing the last couple of weeks. Oh, that colonel gave him that book. So I'm like, well, I don't want to lose anymore. So I gave him back the book and I started beating him again, but I never got any better. Because I never could get comfortable enough to unlearn the bad habits of before. You just kind of let that sink in, because there are some things that we learned in the past. People meant well, and it was that level of truth that we had back then. But when you get the truth of God's word, there's some things that we have to, it's a paradigm shift. We're not trusting in ourselves anymore. We have, and you know what? It becomes a faith thing. It really becomes a faith issue. I've got to trust God's word that I can really do something that I thought I was never able to do before. I have to unlearn my ability to want to do it myself and really trust in the Lord. All right. Oh, yeah. It just felt so uncomfortable. Good gracious. I mean, hey, same thing with golf. If I was to get golf lessons, I'd probably just. All right, here we go. So here's a couple of points out of that, and I got them highlighted here. Oh, here's one thing. In the middle of 14b here, when you see this, God doesn't answer him as to why all this is happening to them. Instead, he spends time telling him what to do. Did you notice what God did? I already told you what Gideon pointed out. Why is all this happening? Why? What's all this that's going on? Why is all this happening to me? To us. God never tells him. God never addresses why all this is happening. He doesn't address any of the past. He just goes straight into, here's what we're going to do going forward. He never said that Gideon was wrong. He just didn't spend time on that. You know, that's the same thing that Christ did with the woman at the well. The woman at the well starts talking about, you know what, why are you talking to me? Because, you know, you Jews are racially profiled and you have nothing to do with us Samaritans. And Jesus never says that she's wrong in her assessment. He just doesn't spend time with it because he's getting ready to move her into something much better. Application for today. I was having a conversation with my wife this week, and we were getting ready to go back and start asking questions as far as the why different things were happening. And my point was, if we start going back, then we're going to miss what God's trying to do to drive us forward. That doesn't mean that you don't do root cause analysis, try to get the root of an issue or whatever. But if I spend too much time, if my wife and I spend too much time talking about what happened, it's not that you deny what happened, but you want to spend time. We are right here, and this is what God is telling us to do to move forward. And we had a very wonderful conversation. And a nice breakthrough over this little minor snafu or whatever, over dishes or whatever the heck it is that we were talking about. I can't even hardly remember now because we're already past that. When I do prison ministry, I don't ask the guys what they did to get in there. I don't care. What I do care about is, where are you right now and how can I take you closer into the Lord? People understand what I'm talking about here? Sometimes you need to deal with the past, and you need to bury it, and it needs to be in the Red Sea or whatever. But once it's in the Red Sea, and the reason why God closes the Red Sea when they cross over to the other side is because you can't go back.
Amen, amen.
Going back leads to lamenting.
Yep.
And then it leads to too much. It's not productive.
It's not healthy, it's not productive, and you can't go forward always looking back.
Right.
So God doesn't look, so God's not going to deal with him. Hey, I understand where you're coming from. I understand your hurt. I understand the discrimination. I understand all that stuff that you went through. But bottom line is, here am I right now. Cry out to me and let's move forward.
Move on.
All right. And that's what kind of what these highlights are. God doesn't bother to defend himself against Gideon's question. Instead, he addresses it by giving him an assignment. Oh, I love that. Why are you caught up in the past when I gave you something to do that's going to impact your future? All right. How do I know that God is with me? He'll give you a word. If you are in this class and God blesses you to get a word or a revelation from this lesson today, you ought to rejoice and thank God when you get ready to go into worship, because if God gave you a word, that's a sure sign that he's concerned and working on your behalf. If you get anything out of this lesson or your Bible study reading, your quiet time, if God gives you a word, if the pastor preaches a sermon and gives you a word that impacts your life and hits your spirit, you ought to rejoice, because God didn't give you that word for it to just go boom. It's a sign that he is lovingly interested in you. All right. He says, go in this thy might. Now, there could be some different, you know, interpretations here. Maybe what he's saying is God just revealed to him the strength that he needs to accomplish this task is the word that God gave him. There's the application at item F below on my notes. What God says about me and what he wants to accomplish through me is my strength. I need his word. I love the song by Chris Tomlin. You guys that have been with me enough, you know I love this song. Good Father.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Al, why do you like that song, Good, Good Father?
It brings
energy, Tom. Yeah, very profound. Al, I don't like that answer, so your homework assignment for right now, I'm going to put you in the corner. You take your funny Bible and you look up 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. All right, you look up 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. And the reason why I like the tune, I like Chris Tomlin, but when you look at the words of Good, Good Father, it says, you're a good, good father, that's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you, it's who I am. I love that song because it reminds me who he is and who I am in him. And that's the strength that encourages me as I go through. I love this. Because that's exactly what God has done for Gideon. He tells Gideon who I am. He's God. And then he tells him, and here's who you are. I'm with you. And Gideon can go in the strength of just that truth alone. If I know who I serve and I know who's my father, then just as I wanted to please my father, make him proud of me in the natural, with my natural dad, I do that for the Father because I know who he is and I know who I am in him. And when you know that, it changes your day.
We all need to remind ourselves of that daily.
Oh, absolutely. We know it, but we have to remind it. Yeah.
To learn what we believed about ourselves for so many years.
You know, God believes more about us than we believe in ourselves.
Always. He knows us better than we know ourselves. That's why.
Yeah. And I think that's why sometimes he asks questions, so that we'll just be able to realize that. Okay. All right. I like Gideon's response. How am I going to do something this great? God wants us to do great things. I got some highlights there. What he's being asked to do sounded crazy. When you look at who he is and what he had and what he had working against him. How can I do anything for the Lord? You might ask. If he's with you, you will be able to do things that you were never able to do before. I promise you that. I stand on that word. Well, what do you mean, Chuck? Am I going to be, well, you know, that hurt and that pain and that suffering and that heartbreak and that unforgiveness or whatever that you thought you would never be able to get rid of, once you surrender to him and he's with you, you'll be able to forgive and do things that you were never able to do before. Verse 16, God does the same thing again. He does not, now he knows, God knows good and doggone well all right, that Gideon is poor, that he's broke, he's the least likely person that you would come around or whatever. You look at him like, nah, don't see it in him or whatever. You know, God never says that what he says about himself is not true. God doesn't deal with it. God deals with it like this. He never addresses it. He just continues to talk about his future. Surely I will be with thee. That is his response to Gideon's weakness. Wow. I'm in my second or third relationship. I got a blemish on my record. My credit report couldn't even bust a 400. You know, my kids don't like me. I can't stand my job. I'm not in the right neighborhood. I'm not in the right tax bracket. I'm too old to make a difference. My better days are behind me. And God never says, well, you know, true that. He just says that your condition does not stop me from doing great things with you. In fact, we know who have been doing this long enough know that those are the very people that God chooses to work with. He didn't grab the Pharisees. He grabbed some bootleg fishermen and a tax collector, the least likely people in the society. That's who he gets. Why does God choose Israel, who's the least of all nations, it says in the Old Testament? Why does he pick people who are losers? Why?
So he gets the glory.
Yes.
Hey, Chuck, going back to that scripture you want me to answer that question that you just mentioned?
Yeah.
You said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.
So when I'm weak, he's strong. Okay, so when I'm weak, how do I make him strong in my weakness?
By relying on him.
Yeah, because if you're weak and you don't rely on his strength and you surrender totally to his strength, then what will you be continuing to do? Because you're doing what?
I'm doing it my own strength.
Boom. Now, you already said that you ain't able to do it, so why are you going to keep pounding your head trying to do something that's impossible?
I don't know.
I know, girl. I know. I know. And we just keep trying to work things out on our own.
Wow.
And you know what? When we do that and we don't rely on him, guess what? We're not weak enough. And he continues to allow us to be broken until we're weak enough to turn to him. Man, I hope our nation realizes that we're weak enough that we need to turn to him.
Amen. Amen.
All right. And the Lord said unto him, verse 16, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He said, God is saying, you know, all this host of people, all this enemy, all this problem you're facing, when I'm with you, you're going to beat them down like you were just one guy. All these guys that are coming against you, this horde, you're going to take them out just like it was just one person. And he said unto him, if not, this is Gideon's response to all of this. It's not, hey, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I believe it. It is. And he said to him, now, if now I have found grace in thy sight. Are you kidding me? You're talking to God. He just gave you a word. And he goes, well, man, this sounds pretty good. But now, if I have really found grace in your sight, then show me a sign.
That is really you talking.
That you're really talking to me, because this sounds like, you know, Fantasy Island type stuff. Give me a sign. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will wait until you come again. Now, we got 10 minutes before 10:30 here, and so I really want to get to this part or whatever, and I'm, man, yeah, this is going to be we're probably going to spend 3 weeks on this, because I want you to see a couple of my notes. And Al already read 2 Corinthians 12:9, so that's good stuff. All right. Again, we already talked about this. God doesn't spend any time talking about Gideon's, you know, condition. Not important. Not a showstopper. All right. And again, I told you this before. Please don't spend too much time talking about the past. Just talk about how you're gonna, what God wants you to do to move forward, and make sure He's in it when you move. All right. Being the least often qualifies you for doing great things for God. He likes using the broken people. I gave some examples there. Picked Israel. Lauren kind of pointed out to you, too. He takes the least born rather than the firstborn. Jacob over Esau. Joseph over his other brothers. All you need is for God to be with you. That's all you need to know. It's not going to be hard when God is with you. It gets easier. The devil wants you to think that it's going to be harder, but it gets easier. All right? Now, one thing that I like that Gideon did, even though he shouldn't have needed it, he wants to make sure that he's getting the word from God and not just based on his emotions or somebody else. Gideon doesn't really know who he's talking to yet. So he just wants to make sure. I have a question, because Gideon says, hey, will you hang around for a bit? Just so I know for sure.
Mr. Chuck, I love this verse. It just, I mean, my husband and I were just sitting here talking. This verse, oh my gosh, it gripped my heart, because I feel like it says something about the nature of God. That I, as a human being, would be so angry after I just told someone I was going to do all this. And then now you ask me for a sign. And not only that, but we're called to wait on the Lord. And the humility and the love and the patience of God to say, hey, I'll wait. Go get your sacrifice. That just right there, that brought so much faith in my heart to say, okay, you know, God can use me, because I'm just like a Gideon in that, you know, you need that comfort. He will still love you right where you're at in your faith and try to bring you along. And that just, I mean, that was like, wow.
It is powerful. It really is. And thank you for bringing that out. It is spot on. Glad you guys are participating and getting something out of this, because it shows the nature of God. Why do you think God wants to wait there and hang around? And I put it in my notes. God still wants to have, can you imagine this? I ought to get an amen or hallelujah out of this. God's nature is He wants to have fellowship with us. And if we, I mean, you know, and I love everybody's in class, you know, in the classroom today or whatever, and on Zoom, but God's desire is that we have fellowship with Him. And I put down, remember Adam. Adam sinned, and God still comes down in the garden in the cool of the day to say, hey, brother, I still want to have fellowship with you, even though I know you screwed up. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? How awesome is that? He still wants to have fellowship. And if you don't believe that, look at how the feasts go. Look at how the steps go. Look at what Christ does. Hey, one, I'm going to the cross for you. Two, I'm going to be buried for you. Three, I'm going to be resurrected for you for your sake. And four, let's have a fish dinner on the seashore, so we can have fellowship and communion together. Every time you take communion in church, it ought to be something very special to you, because it's symbolic of a holy God who wants to connect with unholy people and say, I still want to hang out with you. I got some relatives I don't even want to hang out with, and God wants to hang out with me. How awesome is that? Yes, sister, I'm encouraged. It's the nature of God. All right, we got 5 minutes. And I don't know what pastor's preaching on. He told us what he's going to be preaching on. But I promise you, I just feel this, that this next set of scripture, and we may not get through the whole thing, I bet your pastor's going to cover on some of the concepts that are in this scripture. Check this out. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid. It's a little small goat. And unleavened cakes of ephah of flour. Unleavened always means the lack of sin, purity. All right. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. So we're going to have a little barbecue here. London broil. All right, anyway. And he brought it out to him under the oak, and he presented it. Okay, stop. What is Gideon expecting his guests to do with his offering, sacrifice? This is important. Pardon me?
Was it put it on a rock?
Nope.
No. He expects him to eat it.
He expects him to eat it. He gives this offering, and he expects God to do something particular with it.
Right.
Got it? God does not do with his offering what he expects him to do. But does it discourage Gideon? No. Don't worry about what God, when you bring something to the Lord and you know the Lord is pleased with what you're getting ready to bring, don't start tripping about how it gets used if you know it's what God wants you to do. He knows how he wants to use your gifts and talents. And it'll wind up much better than what you ever imagined. Look at what happens in the 3 minutes that we have left. So he brings him this wonderful offering. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh that you expected me to eat and the unleavened cakes that you spent all this time breaking for me and lay them upon this rock. And pour out the broth on this rock. And he did so. Here's how you know when you've got a cheerful giver. They're happy about how the gift is going to be. They don't worry about how the gift is going to be used. They're just happy that God accepts it.
Amen.
So he pours it out on this rock. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff, which represents authority, that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire out of what?
The rock.
The rock. And consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now, let's talk about this. Because in that culture, when you see fire coming up out of the rock and when the fire consumes the sacrifice that you offered, that is a sign that God has accepted. Thank you, ma'am. So what would you rather have? Your guests have a full stomach? Or did, thank you. Or God's accepting. See, God knows what he's doing. Let God do his thing. So he pours out his offering, and God tells him, here's where I want you to put this offering. Put it on this rock. And what happened to the rock? Fire came out of the rock. The rock got lit up. Application for today, and I put it in my note. All right? And Al, why don't you turn to 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, because I don't remember what I said there. I got it in my notes. All right? And as I'm looking at this, I'm putting myself in the story. Man, if I'm Gideon, and I don't know how to cook, so I can't bring anything. I can't bring a meal to the Lord. I need to find this rock. I need to find the same rock that the angel is leading Gideon to, because I need that rock. I need God to accept what I'm doing for him in his strength. I need God to accept that. I need to get fired up. I need to find that rock. All right. And so as I'm looking at this, if you look at line 21 where I've got make sure your sacrifice is laid on the right rock or the altar. Then you don't have to worry about what happens to it. We need to find a rock like that, a rock that accepts us as we are, a rock that we can lay everything down on, a rock where we can pour ourselves out on, a rock that will fire us up and light up our situation.
Where's the rock?
Where's the rock? Where can we find a special rock like this?
We have.
We do.
The
cornerstone, the rock of Jesus. Thank you very much. And that's level 3 when we start talking about the feast. Al, read 1 Corinthians 10:4.
And all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ.
Talking about the children of Israel as they crossed the Red Sea. Talking about Noah as he goes through the baptismal floods. They drank from a spiritual rock. That rock is Jesus. Wait till you get to verse 22 and 23. It will bless your soul next week. But we still need the rock. I ain't talking about Prudential. That ain't bad. I mean, the rock. Everything that Gideon needs in his story applies to us. The angel said, here's instructions on how to use the rock. Pull yourself out on the rock. That's what we do. The angel says, God is with you. Go in that strength. That's what we do. I hope you can see that these stories that we go through and how, and even its inadequacy, still gets him in the Hall of Fame because he follows the instructions of what's going on here. And wait till you get to next week when we start talking about 22 and 23. The Lord showed me something there that is just so awesome. And I may just put it out on the website in advance. It's just so awesome. All right. Any last thoughts or comments? Before we depart and some of you go to worship, thanks for all the guys that showed up, and thanks for everybody that's still on Zoom. And I hope this word encourages you. If nothing else, just like those young inmates or whatever who were saying, you know, does John 3:16 apply to me? Everything in this scripture that we've talked about in Judges 6 applies to us mature Christians. This is our word. He's with us. Go in that strength. Unlearn some of those things you need to unlearn. Know that if he's with you, phew, I don't care what happens on the political side. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He's with me. I know how to pray. I'm going to lay everything on the rock.
You're not, for I am God.
And he's still with me, and you know, and if he's with me, and if I can get about 10 or 15 other folks that he's with, maybe he'll do something for our nation. Maybe he'll do something for our church. Maybe he'll do something for our class. You know what? I just keep looking up. All right. I've gone too far. Any last comments before we get out of here? I hope this blessed you. Let me pray out.